What I appreciate at these kind of special times to be able to some things that the Lord has encouraged our hearts along the way, and then the privilege of being able to be a comfort and encouragement to each other, as our brother has said. And I appreciate a brother who stepped up and saying, well, there's something on my heart that I would like to share with the people of God. And without pretense or preparation, that was really, and I appreciate that. Likewise, we had expected that another brother was kind of scheduled to have speak this afternoon, but yet I believe that the Lord would always speak at any time to meet our need, and whomever he chooses to use for the occasion. Thank God for our brother Kenny, and to be able to have him to step up and give us a word from the Lord. And so I considered some things, as we have just a few more minutes, to consider some things that he has said to me earlier. He says, brother, I just want to just a couple of words, and I really would trust that you might follow up some of the things that the Lord has put on your heart. And so I thought just to consider some of the things that we had this morning in the breaking of bread. And I always am encouraged to say the Lord steps, and he always brings us always a little higher. And let's understand that. Turn first to 1 Peter as before us. We were talking much about the Lord Jesus this morning, and the theme appeared to be, indeed, he is the Lamb of God. And we took a few portions of Scripture to declare that. But now, Peter, we see some things in the same light, but just in a little different tone. Because he's, our brother was talking about, we're going through the trials of our lives as we travel this wilderness scene. And there is hope. That's the beautiful thing about it. Because we're looking for that moment that we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. That indeed is our hope. To be able to see him face to face. To be able to enjoy him for an eternity. Can you imagine that? We are going to be with him for an eternity. What pleasure it's going to bring to our hearts. And all of these things of this life will pass away. And the word have said that. All tears shall be done away with. And that's the beautiful part of what's our hope. It's our hope is to be with him and to enjoy our time with him for an eternity. We indeed shall see him face to face. But I was just looking at a few things that I thought, actually I'm going to read it, and let's see how it goes from there. I'd like to read from verse 13 of 1 Peter. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, and conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. But as he who called you in is holy, you also be holy in all your conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judge according to each one's work, and conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Seems to me that Brother Peter said a lot of things that God has put in his heart to say and to teach. And we're so glad to know that, because Peter really is addressing this letter to believers who are going through the trials of their life. And I just say what our brother was saying. We're going through the trials of our life, but there is hope for us in respect to those verses that I read. There's hope for every believer. Because one day, as we said, that we're going to be with him and we're going to enjoy him eternally. So let's go back and look at just the few verses that I read. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get your thinking right. In Ephesians 6, it says, you ought to put on the helmet of salvation. Get what you're thinking concerning the one who saved you by your grace. Be positive of your salvation. And he says in this verse, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope, he says, fully upon the grace that is in he who brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our hope rests in him. And sometimes we forget that the trials of the life of our life is so great that we become distracted from the person who has saved us by his grace, as we said, and it's going to be revealed in his time. And when he's revealed, he's going to show us off. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2. He's going to show us off to the world. And so we're looking for that revelation, even the Lord Jesus. And it goes on, as obedient children. So it tells us that our behavior should be of such that would please him, even now. As obedient children. The Lord calls us as far as to obedience is concerned. We see that in verse 1, so to speak. But here, he speaks it in a different way. He's called us to be obedient, but obedient to his word. It's one thing to say, well, obedient to what? But by virtue of getting to know him, getting to be acquainted with his word. And we want to be obedient to the things that God has said. And he says he's called us for that purpose. And he goes on, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We are sanctified people. God has separated us unto himself. So he's saying, behave just like you are. He says, be holy, for I am holy. Be and in our relationship, even one or the other, demonstrate a sanctifying relationship with God, because He belonged to us. He paid us by His blood. He's called us to be holy, to be separated from the things of this world. He separated us unto Himself. And we're so glad to know that. We are a special kind of people. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're special people that God has called. Peculiar, special kind of people that God has called. And so He says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Your time, somebody says, well, I don't know when it's going to be, and I'm glad we don't know what our time is. Scripture says in another place, our times are really in His hand. He controls everything. Another scripture tells us, even the very hairs on our head is numbered. God knows us exactly. And not only that, whatever time that He's allowed us, it's whatever He's allowed us to serve Him. And we ought to know that sometime. We got things to do and things to be a part of. And God has allowed us another day. And somebody says, well, you really got another day. Well, that day is really to serve Him. Another day not to think for ourselves and doing those things, because we're responsible for some things. Don't misunderstand me. But our purpose really is to serve Him. He says, make the time of your sojourning, makes it count. Make it count in service for the Lord in whatever capacity in which He calls us. Make it count, He says. Because one day we're going to have to give an account. He says, throughout the time of your stay here in fear, in respectful to God who has saved us by His grace. And so the time ought to be productive in service for Him, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct by tradition from your father. He says, you didn't pay the price for yourself. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, we were bought by His blood. We really don't belong to ourselves. Sometimes we feel that we do. I do like I want to do. It's my time. Sometimes we say, I'm not affecting nobody else. It's just me. Well, it says, oh, no. This body really does not belong to you, but it belongs to the Lord who has paid the price, which is His precious blood. And we forget that sometimes, and not realizing that we don't belong to ourselves. And so by virtue of that, the bodies that He's given us, it's usable in every way to serve the Lord in the capacity in which He have given us to serve Him. So He says, so we don't have to this aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers. And traditionally, they did those things as tradition, direct. And sometimes we have to be careful that it is not by tradition that directs our steps, but it's by the Word of God. And He goes on to say a little more to that. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And this morning we talked much about that in the portions of Scripture that was given in the hymns that were sung. Speaks about the lamb that was slain, the lamb that was given for us, God's man, God's person, the Lamb of God. And we read about some precious Scripture in the book of Revelation that spoke of Him as the Lamb of God, the one that we should worship and praise because of what He has done. And He has satisfied the Father. And so He's saying He is the one that makes a difference in our lives because of His precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God has established, even before the foundation, before we were even born, before we even came about, God has already established this way, that we might be saved by this very one, that salvation might be ours, even because the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So this was a plan of God. I want you to understand that it was not because of Adam, but it was a plan of God to work out the people for himself, the church that was established even by his precious blood. And we enjoy that, and we appreciate that even the more because he had established this before the foundation of the world, before the worlds exist. God had in mind to do exactly what we have even before us this afternoon. The plan of God, and it goes on, who through him believed God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, and so that your faith and your hope are in God. God raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 9 says, do you believe that? That God raised him from the dead. Not that you understand it sometimes. Sometimes people want an explanation. They want to be explained. I want to understand this plainly. What Scripture says, believe. Believe in the very one that God raised from the dead. He says, and by believing that, you will be saved. Romans 9 tells us. The confession of our own heart that we believe what God has done. And there, Peter repeats that somewhat in the same way. Who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him, that is the Lord Jesus, glory. And that your faith and hope are in God, the very one that God raised from the dead. And since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, so we, our souls are purified, are washed, because we obeyed the truth, and the truth is Jesus. And we obey what God has said in his word. And then he's saying, again, the truth is found in the Lord Jesus. He says, obeying the truth, the Spirit, in sincere hope, and of the brethren, with love, and another fervently with a pure heart. And so, by virtue of what God has done and what God has given us, even relationship to each other, he says, by virtue of that, there ought to be that sweet relationship that God has established in the first place. So there should be a heart of forgiveness. Somebody says, well, I have difficulty forgiving him or forgiving her or all the other things they do, and sometimes we feel, because I had some offense from one thing or the next. He says, oh, no. In respect to the brethren, he says, have a heart of forgiveness. Have a heart of forgetting those things that are past, Scripture says, in different places, and just moving forth to those things that are ahead. Thank God for his word, to be able to encourage our hearts and to have us to go along singing praises unto him as we have been singing this afternoon from the heart, and realizing what God has done in our lives to maintain us and to keep us and to garrison us together, keep us together until we wait for him. Thank you, Lord, for these few moments just to be able to bring to the attention of your people the things that we have known already, our God, but just refreshing our own hearts as we reflect on these good things that you've shown us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.